Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. I will sit here and struggle at parts for the next 20 to 25 minutes, and I will fly through others. Memorial Day, remembering the sacrifice that has been given. First recognized in the 1800s, a time that even during the Civil War era, that the North and the South had agreed that there should be some recognition for those that have given their life to this cause. And a day during at that point in time was called Decoration Day. And it has remained in our history. And it's a day that we stop to remember and we pause. We really do. Though some pause differently, and I am sympathetic to everyone that could be in here. I do not know the stories, and I will not keep you long today for the simple fact of I do not know everyone's story. And today is different for each person. But it's a day that we stop to remember all the lives that have been given so that we can continue to be the land of the free. And we are the land of the free because we are home to brave people. And this day has continued to take turns in our modern course of history as we have now seen acts of evil that once never thought of. Acts of evil where planes have flown into buildings, acts of evil where gunmen have come in and shot up school systems, acts of evil where gunmen have just hit people as they walk down the street with their vehicle on purpose, acts of evil where people will beat another individual based on the color of their skin or the wealth or the class that they come from. And this day of Memorial Day has taken a turn. It's not only now do we remember those that have fought foreign wars to keep us free, but those that are fighting the wars here in our own land to keep us free, the police officers, the firefighters, school teachers who are having to step up and getting put in a position that would have never, ever been thought of. And it has to be a day that we remember. This day that we just sit back and can be thankful, as Devin said, that we can sit here in a building, unpersecuted, unpressured, with our lives not threatened at this moment, to sit here together collectively and spend time with each other and worship God. And what I do know from my experience and what I do know from my time served and what I do know from holding hands of those that are no longer here is that we cannot repay the debt. That there is no amount of hugs, there is no amount of flowers, there is no amount of handshakes, there is no amount of sympathy texts, there is no amount of cards. None of that will ever bring back these individuals' lives. There is no comforting to the point where moms, dads, husbands, wives, and children will truly understand why that individual's life had to be taken at that moment for this cause. But what I want you to understand is what they gave their lives for. And what I want you to think about is that in the fight, in the middle of the fight, whether on our own soil or across the wars, in a history of wars that we have fought, what was happening with these individuals is they were fighting for a mission that was greater than each of them. That they were surrounded by brothers and sisters in arms that they knew would take the same exact outcome as they may have to take the outcome to continue the mission at hand. That it was never going to be a personal situation as much as it was collectively, that it was fought for our country to remain free, and that we could sit here and lay our heads down peacefully at night. And it brings us to this time to where we bring it to a Sunday morning. And we understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ was built around sacrifice. That Jesus's life was a life of sacrifice. And I've always said to myself that probably one of the most puzzling situations as being prior military is, could you imagine that if brothers and sisters in Christ operated with that same mindset as the American military and what the outcome would be for Christianity? Could you imagine that no matter what God has gifted you with, no matter what anointing you have in your life, no matter what set of skills you have to believe that set you apart, could you imagine that if above all else we realize that the mission of Christianity was to reach the lost, was to baptize them, was to teach them? Could you imagine that if we all were willing to lay down our lives for that cause, to look at our brother and sisters and realize that the cause is much greater than you or I, that the cause is much bigger than my comfort and your comfort? Could you imagine the outcome of Christianity? And no matter what obstacles were in front of us, that we would continue to push forward for the mission. That no matter how bad that moment was for us, that we had to continue to push for the moment. That no matter what I thought thought about someone else. No matter I may not truly understand them or like them, but to understand the mission does not give room for this at this point in time. The mission is bigger than this. That my modern quarrels in society and in humanity were not to overtake the great commission that Jesus Christ had placed on each follower of Christ. And Paul even wrote in Romans 12:1-2, he said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And what is God's will? As many times we spend a majority of our adulthood searching for God's will in our life, we will put so much time and effort into finiting the details of what is God's will in my life. And what God's will is for us is to disciple one another, to baptize one another, to go wherever we need to go to spread Christianity. At the end of it all, that is God's will. For each and every single follower of Christ, not only pastoral staff, not only the deacons in the church, not only the worship leaders in the church, for every follower of Christ, that is God's will. And we've been asking this question all month long in a series that we've called WWJD, what would Jesus do? And the answer above all answers is Jesus would give. He gave his earthly life dedicated to the mission of his heavenly Father. He came as a king, as we said in the first week, but he humbly served. He gave his earthly life on a cross for people like you and people like me, that through all of our downfalls in life, through all of our sin in life, through all the times that we do something wrong, that the outcome of that sin would not be death, but could be eternal life through seeking forgiveness and repentance from our Heavenly Father. Because no matter what we may believe, when we talk about he gave his time as Jesus Christ, when he gave his time to the broken, he gave his time to the lost, he gave his time to the poor, and I will tell you, he just described all of us. Because we are broken, and many times we are lost, and many times we can become poor in spirit. But Jesus gave his life for the cause, for the mission of his Heavenly Father, for the mission of God to be continued. He did not neglect the rich, or the perfect, or the pure, because two out of those three do not exist except in Jesus Christ. He just simply gave because he loved. He gave everything because he loved his Heavenly Father who had given him this mission. And if you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, are going to give and sacrifice our lives for the greater, we have to understand that the time is not coming for us to do this. The time is now for us to do this. That if you look around you, there has been no greater time in American history that we need one another and we need to follow something greater than each other. That we have never had a time where people need someone to reach out and ask questions into their lives and speak into their lives and be with one another. Following the mission of Jesus Christ, we've become so internalized and we become so self-centered into our own homes that we neglect so many around us. We have a generation that is coming up behind us. That will they live in fear of one another, or will they live out of love for one another? And that question will dictate the actions and the mission of the gospel. As we are not asked to live from fear, we are not asked to fear one another. We are to cast all our fears on God, and we are to love one another. The people all around you, the people you see in your daily lives, your coworkers, your friends, your counterparts, these are the people who are in need. These are in the people who are in need of you. Some may need money. Some may need time. Some may need your talents and God-given abilities that he has given you. It's too easy to get into a position, though, to classify who should give and who should give what instead of accepting the responsibility of giving. It's too easy to say, I don't quite have it all down yet for me to give my time. Too many times the church has stared people off because
I'm not exactly foundationally strong in the Bible yet. Maybe I should not be at that point yet. Instead of empowering each believer of Jesus Christ, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit as a believer of Jesus Christ. You need no other degrees, nor scholars, nor anyone else to speak into you to say, you're ready now to go share the gospel message. The Holy Spirit is inside of you who says, go share the message. And that is the power. The power will never come from my voice and a microphone. The power will never come from any pastor and a microphone. The power will come from God's living word and the Holy Spirit in your life to give you power to see through and to be bold and to be brave and to realize that people need you and people need I. When we talk about position, it's too easy to think. It gets too easy just to stop and think, what could I ever have to give to anyone? I have nothing. I have no money. What could I possibly give to anyone? The answer is not what you have, but who you have with you to give. That if you understanding the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it was never about how much money was in your wallet, or it was never about the knowledge that was in your brain. It was about, did you come from the Holy Spirit from a position of love to realize that we were created to be together? We were created to take care of each other. We were not created to turn everything over for the federal government to take care of the poor. Federal government, please pay our poor people. No. That was you and I who were created to take care of these people. The early church gives us the greatest example. There were no needs. There were no wants. Because they took care of one another out of the love they had from the Heavenly Father. You could give everything you have. You could give your house. You could give your money. You could give your cars. And I noticed that coming in, some of the high school seniors, if you want to give your cars, we'll test this theory, because your cars are nicer than my cars. But you could give absolutely everything you have in your possession, and you will never outgive God. Everything you have, and you can never outgive God. And too often it becomes, that's what we're searching for, is the next greatest thing to give instead of the gift of love of God. I think back to the Agape Center. Some of us have traveled there to work with them on Saturday mornings and Wednesdays. The Agape Center on 46. Some of you may pass it often on the right-hand side headed towards Savannah. That center right there is a food bank that hands out food for those in need. So that you can come through with your grocery bags, you can fill your grocery bags up and continue on. And that's not what blew my mind about the Agape Center. What blew my mind about the Agape Center was who was working the Agape Center. Because the Agape Center is ran by people who also have to go through the line. The Agape Center is not ran by the rich. The Agape Center is not ran by the wealthy. The Agape Center is ran through each other. This beautiful picture of taking care of needs and of love and of giving. They have nothing to give that we sometimes consider. They can't give me money. I already have groceries, but they sit there in the line filling up the bags. And as soon as everyone's done, they grab their bag and then they walk the line themselves. And they fill this bag up with the same needs as the people they serve. And to me, it is one of the clearest and prettiest pictures of God's love that we can find in our modern society and cultures that we circumvent day after day. That no matter what you think you have something to give. No matter what is in your wallet, it's not there, it's what's here. It's what can come from here. What can you sacrifice? What can you give the same as Jesus has sacrificed? Matthew 6, 1 through 4. If you have your phone, you have your Bible, you can open up and I will read from the New International Version this morning. And we'll take just a moment to read this together. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And I think we could all pause for a moment, and we could stop for a moment just in that clarification of Scripture. When we think about the one person who, anytime they have an act of service, anytime they have an act of good, anytime they have something that they've done, they want the world to know. There's a Facebook post, followed by an Instagram post, followed by a few text messages, followed by every time you pass them in the street, they got to make sure they tell you of the story of what they did and how good they are for what they gave. My goodness, they are good. But what happens is, in that time and in those stories, we lose the fact of love and we lose the act that took place because our minds go to, here we go again. He's saving the world. One act of love at a time. And we lose the fact that the story of love and the story of God's love is lost because we get tired of hearing. But what I have learned in my short 35 years of living about stories, what I've learned in my short time of experiencing God's love and giving God's love, it's the stories that people told of the love that was shown to them that live forever. It's the stories that when people come up and tell you, man, you're not going to believe what someone did for me today. And you are rocked just as they were rocked by that act of love because it came from love. It was told in love. It was to carry on in love. And the picture of this has always been my grandfather for me. My grandfather would ride down the road and there'd be a car broke down on the side of the road and 25 people passing it. And here he goes whipping the Huey. We're going back. We're either going to push him out the road or we're going to get him to do something. And I always took it as it's just my grandfather, he was a man who liked to give. He was a man who understood somebody needs him and he's just going to stop. And I'm watching this transcend of multiple times in my life when I pass a car broke down on the road. And the crazy thing is the only thing I see or hear are horns just a-blaring. Get out of my way. Move your car out the way. Get out and push the car by yourself. My goodness, the acts of love we show to one another. And it's so simple that all we have to do is stop and push a vehicle. But often we're not there yet. The simplest act of love that costs you nothing but some time. And we're not there yet. It just recently happened to me a couple weeks ago. And this is how God works in life. And I truly believe it. Truly believe in my life. I had a $20 bill in my pocket that my wife had not taken possession of yet. And I had a $20 bill in my pocket. And I passed a Buford, might have been Powell's football. Can't even tell you. It was a little football team washing cars. And I had on the back of my truck a couch loaded for my mother-in-law, right? So, I mean, I'm about to hit a whole lot of good giving right here. So I roll up to this little thing. I got the couch. I got my good act of service, right? Pull the $20 bill out. Pop it to my man. I say, you can't wash my truck. I got the couch on the back, but just take the $20. And the kids are like, oh, my goodness, thank you. No problem. Feeling good. Feeling good. Get up to the intersection, I look left, and here is a man broke down about 300 yards from where I am, and everybody is laying on the horn in front of Chick-fil-A in Buford. The worst intersection to be broke down at. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got my little one in the back, one of my little ones in the back, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, someone's gonna get him. Let me pull off. And instantly, you can't outgive God. Can't outgive God. Can't outgive God. You can't outgive it. Back my little truck up, I roll over. Here's an individual, small little man, trying to push his car all by himself. And everybody, the help they gave him was a good old horn blast, right? Get your car out my way, my man. Come on, we got to go. So we push his little car 300 yards. I'm about to pass out because he caught me off guard, right? And we push out the way, and he says, oh, man, thank you so much. And the exchange was simply, you're welcome. Absolutely, man. Do you need anything else? You need me to call? No, I'm good. I already called. Okay, perfect. And I went on my way. What I mean by how God works is giving just doesn't stop. You don't get the I've done this and put it on my resume on the highlight reel. Again, let me tell you, and then it stops. It's that we come from a position that we're always open to give. We may not have money to always give. We may not have time to always give. But we have something that we can give. We have something that someone needs. We hold on to something. As Christians, we have to grasp this idea of positioning. All right, this idea of positioning, bear with me. Many of you have seen in the Christian culture, two hands always up. Receiving. We always are ready to receive. God, my problems right now are so deep. Please fix them. Please, Heavenly Father, come into my life and fix it. My hands are up, ready to receive. And then I receive. And I take my hands inward and I hold it tight. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And I walk off. Until the next time I need him again. Heavenly Father, please. Please. And sometimes I think we've lost the culture shift where one hand was up to receive and one hand is down to give away. That we cannot create a culture of two hands up to receive at all times. As I receive, I give away. As God has blessed me in my life, whether it's my health, whether it's my wealth, whatever it is, that I am prepared to receive and give away, just as Jesus would always do. He would wash people's feet. He's a king. And we won't hold a door open. The King of Kings washing feet. And it bothers me to hold a door open out of the simplest act of courtesy and love. But the question becomes for you, and we've only got about 5 to 7 minutes left. I'm going to bring you down the runway here. And I'm not going to answer this question for you either. But what does your heart lead you to give? Do you struggle with giving? Do you understand giving? Where is the struggle? Is it money? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your talents. People need you. Is it the time that you have that you don't give? Is it the time that you have that you neglect a friend who always looks at you and you know he wants you to ask him, how is he doing? Is it the time you walk by too busy because we have something that I need to accomplish today, something that I need to do, something that I have to get taken care of? People, most often, all we need you to sit down for a few moments. Too often, and we're seeing it so front and center right now, there are glaring signs of kids screaming for help. And everybody's too busy. I wonder if we looked at our time as part of our giving, could we have stopped some of the evil acts that have approached us as a nation? If we would have taken the time to the kid who always showed the signs of something wrong, but I never stopped. I never took the time to ask. I never said, are you okay? I never asked, do you need something? Maybe your house needs more of your time. Maybe your wife and your children need more of your time. Maybe your friends need more of your time. But we have to be open to give. We have to be open to give from the position of love. Time, that's all we have. We have a beginning and we have an end. We're all gonna die. In case I didn't want to scare anybody, we're all gonna die. But what are we going to do from start to finish with what we were given? Maybe it's your talents. How many times I've read a Facebook post over, does anybody know a mechanic for cheap? I can't. And you know the story. You know the story. It's a single mom with 3 kids who works 2 jobs and has nothing left. And you can fix cars. No, I don't know a cheap mechanic. Oh, and they're asking, my room above my oldest's is still leaking and water falls down on him when it rains at night. Does anybody know a carpenter for cheap who could help me? And you build homes. No, don't know anybody does cheap labor anymore. And maybe it is money. Maybe God has blessed you in your life with wealth. I do not sit up here and speak sermons on giving your money to the church. That is between you and our Heavenly Father. And that is your understanding of why do we give. Why would I give my money to the poor? Why would I give my money to the local church? Why would I give my money to somebody other than me? Why? Why would I do these things? What is the point? What's the church going to do with my money? And we're going to come back. And we're about to touch the wheels down. And I'm going to take you back. If you have your Bible, I don't want us to lose sight from the beginning. Open your Bible. There is no slide for this. If you got your phone, use your phone. I will read out loud. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Here goes the highlight reel. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," just not your nation, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I opened this morning with, could you imagine that as Christians, we could function like the United States military does in securing our freedom? That we bring people together in a room, take everything from them, put them in the same set of clothes, don't care what their personal quarrels are, don't care if they have something that says, "I can't stand next to this guy right here. I can't do it." I was a drone shooter for the Marine Corps, and I have had recruits that have come up to me to say, "I have never seen a white person. I have never seen a black person before," vice versa. And you know what they did? The mission of the Marine Corps. That's what they did. Because it was far greater than something of their own. And this is what I want to leave you with. Jesus led a life of giving and sacrifice. It doesn't mean walk out here and start searching Bluffton for the first broke down car to push. What it means is to believe in God-appointed positioning. That when you show up and you go, "Holy smokes, yeah, I could do that," take it. The Holy Spirit is with you. Go run wild with it. Help them out. And when they say, "I don't have anything to give," you never did it for that. You've done because all that's been given to you. Memorial Day. My biggest hurt is the young men and women who I never led to Christ. Didn't say a word. I have a young man tattooed on my forearm, and some of you have been in here and have heard this story before. My best friend. And I can't bet on salvation. But he didn't have a relationship with God. And he don't get it back. Young people in the room that are graduating, be thankful for every moment you have. Don't neglect your parents. Don't neglect each other. Don't neglect your siblings. Because it all can change in the blink of an eye. But stand on something greater than yourself. And stand on the fact that you will not be a generation that is scared of one another. That you will not be a generation scared of the person who doesn't believe the same thing you believe. That you will not be scared of this person who doesn't have the same skin color as you do or worships a different God than you do. And for all of us in the room, can we believe in the mission of Christ far greater than our own personal daily satisfaction that we need to lay our head down night at peacefully because the Holy Spirit has already provided it? We don't need to create it. Be proud. Be bold. Be brave. The world is a fight of good versus evil, and Jesus gave his life for the good. Can we give our life for the good? Will we take care of those in our charge? Some may not come to know to Christ, even no matter how much you give. But let me tell you, that is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is responsible to the mission of continue to show God's love. Don't wrap your head around that part either. I'm going to say two prayers as we get ready to close up. The first is a prayer of those that may not know Christ. I believe in my heart that my words do not mean anything, but your heart connection with the Heavenly Father is what it means. I will lead you through a prayer. Please understand this is just my words, and understand this is the beginning of a relationship. And then I will say a second prayer over all of us. That as we remember a day of sacrifices, we remember a king who sacrificed everything he had. May we just live in that sacrificial love and give to one another. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father God, we could never repay you. We could never come close to outgiving you. But God, the one thing that you have asked for is our lives. And Heavenly Father, we know that giving of our life comes through repentance, God, and it comes through the fact of forgiveness. As we seek forgiveness from you, God, and those in this room that may not have a relationship from Christ, your hearts and your minds and your souls are open. You can say this prayer silently. Heavenly Father, I am sorry. I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Please lead me. And please let me continue to grow to love you. And for everyone else in this room, everyone else in this room that may ever hear this, Heavenly Father, may we continue to be a practitioner of your word. May we live in boldness, God. May we live in braveness, God. May we cast our fears on you, Heavenly Father, and never, ever stop until we continue to reach the broken and the lost, God. The same way that your relentless love never stops for us, may we continue to strive to show that to the remainder of humanity, Heavenly Father. God, we pray for a society that is twisted at this moment, God. We pray for a society that is feeding into evil. We pray for a society that is getting beat by the treacherous and the wars of evil, God. May we stand firm. May we mount up. May we put our helmet on. May we put our shield on. May we pick up the sword of truth. And may we go after the enemy, Heavenly Father. We will not be your army of retreat, God, but we will be your army of advance. And Heavenly Father, I pray for these young men and women in this room that are moving from high school into adulthood. God, will you just continue to cover them in your love? God, may they reach up to you and realize their worth will never be made in any human being, but their worth is made in you, God, and it's already made. They are a child of God, and please let them feel in their heart the love you have for them. And God, thank you for giving us today. Thank you for giving us a moment where we can stop and remember. We can remember those that have given us the land of the free. And we can remember you who has set us free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.